Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. We got 25 minutes left, 24 and a half, actually, minutes left on our program today. Thank you for listening to AFR, American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Chris Woodward is in studio with me, and now Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson had to go get ready for the noon to 1 o'clock show he's going to host here on American Family Radio. Fred's our, you know, if you've ever been in sports, you know the guy or the
utility player.
Yeah, the guy or the lady who can, if somebody's sick or out, you stick somebody in there and they can play all over the field. And that's Fred Jackson for us, ladies and gentlemen. He's our utility fielder, so to speak. So,
and he does it in Canadian, which is yes. Impressive.
Duly noted. A Canadian utility fielder or something like that. I guess in hockey, though, you don't call them fielders, do you? What do you call them?
Utility skater.
Paging Ed.
Come on, guys.
Skater.
Player. Yeah, but they have positions in hockey that we three are not familiar with.
I'm a baseball guy. You had me on the baseball.
I just know in hockey they have what they call an enforcer. I know that.
Not an official position, but
no,
yes.
That's the bruiser. That's a yes. Guy who's sent out there to wreak havoc on the other team.
Yep.
So anyway, we appreciate Fred handling Bishop Jackson's hour. And Bishop Jackson, of course, told me, I mentioned this 7 weeks ago, middle of June, he called me and said, Tim, I want to run for president, so I know I got to get off the air. I hate to do it, but I feel like God's calling me to do this. What do you do when somebody like Reverend Jackson, Bishop Jackson, tells you that? And you don't say something like, are you serious? Huh? But that brother's just very popular with our listeners. Mm-hmm. So from an AFR standpoint, I was very selfish and wanted him to stay on. But, hey, you know, God's calling him to do something. That's what he needs to do for whatever reason the Lord has for that moment and season in his life. But that left us with a big void. And so I got in touch with Todd Herman.
Yeah.
And Todd is going to start Monday. You're gonna love Todd. He's going to start Monday, Todd Herman, on AFR, the noon to 1 o'clock Central Time hour.
Yep.
So he lives in Idaho. And anyway, we're looking forward to his debut on Monday and him being on for many years here on America. The show is going to be called A Disciple's View with Todd Herman. Todd filled in for Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
Several times.
It's a big time.
If Rush Limbaugh calls you, the late Rush Limbaugh, obviously, and says, I want you to fill in for me, that's probably the highest honor you can have in talk radio, right?
It'll launch a career for you.
Huge time slot that nobody has really taken control of since Rush.
Rush carried 3 hours by himself.
Yeah.
That's like
that man could
a freak of nature.
From his basement.
Huh?
From his basement there.
In his Southern Command Center. Huh? Or wherever. Remember he started in New York, Rush Limbaugh? Well, he started in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. That's where his hometown. Then he went to Kansas City. Then he went to New York and went national. And the rest, as they say, is history. But anyway, Todd was filled in several times for Russ Limbaugh. But Todd's a strong believer, and we've talked. He's not going to just talk politics. He'll talk politics and current events some, obviously. But he's going to talk about the Christian life, about church and family, about the Bible, about testimonies. It's going to be a variety of
looking
topics.
Forward to it.
All right, that's coming up on Monday. Steve.
Speaking of Todd?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Todd.
Todd, we got Tim Todd on. Tim Todd from Revival Fires Ministry. I was the one who invited Tim on. Give us an update on our Truth for Youth Bible campaign. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tim and Chris and Steve. Good to be here this morning.
So you made it home. You were on the interstate when last we left you on the shoulder of I-55 somewhere in Mississippi talking to us. You obviously made it home safe and sound.
Yes, actually, it was pouring down, not to offend PETA, but it was pouring down cats and dogs, and so I had to pull over on the side of the road. And that was why I was talking to you on the side of the road. Otherwise, I probably, if it had been sun shining, I would have talked to you while I was driving.
On the speakerphone.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Do you use the Bluetooth thing?
I do. But whenever I do the interviews, I actually get on my phone so that you have better sound with it, and so that helps, I think.
Speaking for all reporters, I thank you.
Yes. Yeah. The Bluetooth I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I know a lot of people are going, well, you just learning about this? No, I've heard of Bluetooth. I've just never used it. My wife, Allison, she's used it some in her car. But
we do.
You do? But
very
she,
convenient.
Well, she put it out. We were traveling to Oxford, Mississippi about a month ago, and Allison put it on. It's about an hour from Tupelo, and she put it on Bluetooth so we could listen to something on AFR, AFR podcast or something like that. Well, it went. Her phone rang, and because of that, the Bluetooth took over, and the phone, her conversation went Bluetooth on there. But the problem was we couldn't, it took us 2 weeks to figure out how to change it back. Every time we got into the car.
Yeah. My wife's and my phone fight over Bluetooth in our car.
Yeah. I shouldn't be admitting that. I should be embarrassed about that. But I'm not. Because it's just one of those learning experiences.
Our podcasting numbers for that one podcast were through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right? So anyway, it's technology is a great thing till you can't figure out how to turn it off. You know, then you want to do like Hillary and smash Blackberries.
Yeah, right. Yes. That's why she did it.
Are they called Blackberries? I think we know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
We all know what I'm saying.
It probably was a Blackberry.
Where are we with our numbers for Truth for Youth Bibles today?
We are over 22,000 right now, and that's just yesterday and the day before.
Hand
so
clap,
hallelujah.
Everybody.
And we're headed for 65,000.
Wow.
And we are that is our goal. And I feel confident, Tim and Chris and Steve, that we're going to cross that line. We've really got to reach a generation of our young people if we want to reach America. I believe that with all of my heart. And the way that we're doing that is giving this Bible away to every teenager, every young person that will commit to give it to their friends in school that don't know Jesus. And we've just got so many of the young people that are getting their hearts in right relationship with the Lord as a result of it. So we're headed for 65,000 of these Bibles going into the hands of young people all across the nation.
All right, people, if you haven't done this already, you need to go to this website, AFR.net. That's our website, AFR.net. First story that pops up is the Truth to Youth Bible campaign. And you can see how to participate. You probably know if you've listened to us any at all, we've been promoting it a lot in the last, since Monday when we started the campaign. Today's Wednesday. So by Friday afternoon, and certainly by Monday, we'll have a report, but we want to be at 65, Tim said, 65,000. We're a third of the way there.
Yes. There you go.
People have responded tremendously. Again, make the offer, Tim, and then we'll let you go and have you maybe on tomorrow to give us another update because we're thrilled about what the numbers, where we are right now. But go ahead and tell folks how they can participate.
Yes, parents or grandparents of teenagers ages 13 to 18 years old that will commit to give the Bible to the Truth for Youth Bible to their friends in school that don't know Jesus, we will give them one absolutely free of charge. And all they have to do is contact us. And you have that phone number right there handy, Tim?
Okay, sure I do. Absolutely. It's handy right now. Okay. So here's the phone. Are we talking about your office?
Yes, yes. The 888 number.
Mm-hmm. Do you not know it?
Yeah, I actually have not got it right here in front of me, but I...
Uh-huh. He pushes dial.
I got it. It's not 888. Okay. Okay, Tim, I'm going to give your phone number for your ministry. Are you ready?
It's actually 833-574-7000. 1600. Now I've got you on speaker because I had to look at the number to be able to say it.
All right. Here's the deal. The phone number I'm about to give, which goes to West Monroe, Louisiana, and the home offices of the Revival Fires Ministry. If you call this number, that you're calling West Monroe and Tim's ministry, and they'll answer the phone and take your order. And if, by the way, the boxes of the Truth for Youth Bibles, they're like 50 in a box, and they're $2 each, right?
That's correct.
And
that's
plus shipping. How much is shipping and handling?
About $25. It's great for Bible clubs and Fellowship of Christian Athletes and youth groups.
Yes.
Phenomenal.
Yes.
Evangelism outreach.
Yes. Do you handle them?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you get the 25 bucks? Do you get the 25 bucks for handling them?
Do I get the 25?
Yeah.
No, actually, it's shipping.
Oh.
Shipping, and so we do the handling for free.
Oh, okay, guys, shipping.
And then we just what the postal is what we charge, which is $25 a case.
All right, here's the phone number to call and get the Bibles. 833-574-1600. 833, you paying attention, Tim? You writing this down?
Yes,
yeah,
sir. So, I'm going to call as soon as we get on the phone.
You call down the hall. Buy you some Bibles. 833-574-1600. Hey, Brother Tim, we are very excited.
I tell my favorite Tim Todd story?
You go in front of Tim?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, yeah,
yes.
Go ahead.
So this is my favorite Tim Todd story. So Tim, as you know, Tim and Chris, Tim's job is to go speak to large groups of people, and he shares Christ as an evangelist, right? So COVID comes along, and every meeting is canceled. Nobody's meeting. There's no more revivals going on. What is an evangelist to do? Well, Tim Todd doesn't strike me as the kind of guy. Tim, you don't strike me as the kind of guy that will sit around the house. He goes and buys a bunch of gas cards, $10 gas cards, and goes down to the gas station and says, I'll put gas in your tank if you let me share Christ with you. Tim Todd's going to Tim Todd. That's what I...
we had a bunch of people get saved through those efforts.
Wow, what a great idea. All right, listen, thanks so much, Tim. Take care, my friend. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you so much, and appreciate your partnership and what God is doing through this and helping us reach a generation of young people.
Okay, and you know how to turn off speakerphone, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. Talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Anyway.
Yeah.
There we go, Brother Tim.
Yeah.
Again, the story is so cool. He came to us 23 years ago now. It's hard to believe.
Wow.
And said, hey, I want y'all to join us. Join and get the word out, AFA and AFR, about the free Bibles, the Truth for Youth Bible Campaign. Let's do this every August when school starts back. And he said, what's even better is I'm going to raise all the money for it. We said, what? No, he said, you guys aren't going to have to pay for anything. We're paying for everything. Because when I travel, I do 40-plus engagements a year, oftentimes for multiple days. And during the events, I take an offering just for this project. Hmm. So we have helped him. Last two, 3 or 4 years, we've helped out some financially because the amount of money it costs grew to because we were sending we've gone over 1 million Bibles.
That's
since
a lot of Bibles.
So we help him out some, but he raises the vast majority of the money on his own. So God bless Brother Tim Todd. Go ahead, Steve.
All right, yeah, you guys were talking last hour about the new revelation of the Biden banking records.
We're shocked.
Yeah.
Well, Chris and I both are stunned.
Well, this might lend a little more credence or at least a little bit more questions about the story I'm about to tell you. So this is a couple days old, but apparently, you remember when Joe Biden released a whole bunch of oil from the strategic reserves? He did that to artificially keep gas prices low so he could say that he was a good...
We remember that, yes.
Well, it turns out that Biden's energy secretary, Jennifer Granholm, had several conversations with the Chinese National Energy Administration chairman, Zhang Jinhuan, in one-on-one talks, and she consulted with them, And then shortly thereafter, Joe Biden releases oil from the net oil reserves. This is an energy company, a Chinese energy company that Hunter Biden was involved with.
But we don't know. We don't know. I mean, that's bad.
A lot of smoke.
Yes, a lot of smoke anyway.
Yeah. So,
we're learning new stuff every day.
Yeah.
Aren't we? Huh? What happened to all Hunter Biden's money, though? Isn't he broke now?
Well, cocaine's expensive, I hear.
Oh, Steve.
I just hope they pay their
low
fair
blow,
share.
Steve. Or you leave it at the White House. This is getting out.
That investigation is closed,
sorry.
And they
it
don't
is
know
not.
The person that the coke belonged to.
It is not.
That's what Biden said.
The New York Post is reporting today that the White House actually knows who the cocaine belonged to, and it is someone in the Biden family orbit, but not Hunter.
Or it's Colonel Mustard in the dining room.
That might be if that's in the Biden family.
With a wrench.
It's the dogs. The one that keeps biting people. Cocaine dog.
No, that's what they're reporting. They're reporting that the Secret Service actually knows who it's.
They said it was the cocaine that was left at the White House. Left. I said left. I don't know. They drop it in the hall. Something. What was the story on that?
It was in a publicly accessible place, but some that not many people go to.
All right. Anyway, kind of like leaving. That sounds as crazy as leaving your laptop at a computer repair store.
Who would do that?
I don't know. But they got the – whether this will be pursued or not.
No.
As long as he's got the AG.
All right.
But if it is – even if it isn't, in the court of public opinion, this is really killing Joe Biden and the Biden administration. I think it's hurting them greatly, even with independent voters, people who maybe aren't Republican or Democrats. Now, usually when scandals hit, the Republicans and Democrats, and they both do this, they you know, deflect and they cover for each other.
Yeah.
Or they spin it. You know, that's just what you do here.
I feel another Donald Trump indictment coming on.
Well, that may happen in the next day or two in Georgia. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He may get, and that's a state case. Yesterday, President Trump, he can help himself and he can hurt himself with his mouth on a daily basis.
Or his thumbs.
Well, yesterday he's talking about is it the DA over in Georgia? Is that what you call her?
Is
she the DA?
I think that's who it is.
Or is she a state attorney?
I'll have to look it
anyway
up.
You know who I'm talking about? The one investigating him for potentially voter fraud or for trying to influence the election. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
What's her title?
I'm looking it up.
Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis.
All right.
There you go.
He beat you to it,
Chris,
Steve.
Has quicker fingers.
Okay, so she's the district attorney for Fulton County, which is that's like Atlanta.
Right.
Greater Atlanta encompasses probably seven or eight counties, maybe more now. City sprawling in Atlanta is just like crazy. But this lady is the one who may bring the indictment against the former president for, I don't know what it would be for exactly. You know, this is the case where I'm getting to a point here about what he said. But this is the case where, you know, President Trump, while he was in office, calls the Secretary of State of Georgia and says, can we not find.
I want you to find 175,000 or so votes. I don't remember
what
the
exact number
was.
Right. Remember that infamous call? Now, if most people on the Republican/Trump side, they would say that he was not asking them to invent votes. He was asking them to find votes that had not been counted yet or something to that effect. So, but still, that may get him in trouble with an indictment, whether that's, you know, whether he's proven to be guilty or not, that's down the road. Mm-hmm. The point is, this lady, what's her name?
Fannie Willis.
Fannie Willis, the Fulton County District Attorney. So Trump just says out of the blue yesterday, he tweeted it. I think he did. You got what he tweeted about her?
I can look it up for you.
Well, he said, yeah, so I hear she had an affair with a gangster.
Yeah. What you want to say about the person that's going to be prosecuting you?
I was going to say, I would not try to make her hate you any worse, okay? But I guess he can't help himself some with these quotes. You got the quote he said? This is after he talked about not may have been before he talked about calling Chris Christie
yeah.
a fat pig.
According to a RollingStone.com article, Trump said, quote, they say there's a young woman, a young racist in Atlanta. They say she was after a certain gang, and she ended up having an affair with the head of the gang or a gang member, and this is a person who wants to indict me for a perfect phone call, Trump told supporters during a Tuesday campaign event in New Hampshire.
He called her a young racist in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, they say, Trump's famous for the, they say. Mm-hmm. Some people say. He said, they say she was after a certain gang and she ended up having an affair with the head of the gang or a gang member. When you're about to go to been indicted by somebody to talk about them in that way, just was kind of shocking to me, just throwing around an allegation that she had an affair with a gang leader. Kind of strange. But then, you know, that's Donald Trump. And then he got into it with Chris Christie yesterday. Same speech, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that? Or play it real quick.
Yeah.
No, Christie's he's eating right now. He can't be bothered. Sir, please do not call him a fat pig. That's very disrespectful. Don't call him. See, I'm trying to be nice. Don't call him a fat pig. You can't do that. So now, because you're not allowed to do that, and therefore we're not going to do it, okay? We want to be very civil, right?
Anyway, Chris Christie came back and tweeted, say that to my face. And I think he's talking about at the debate, talking to Trump. Anyway, Chris Christie's from New Jersey. Trump's a New Yorker, and they're talking in New Yorker, New Jersey language right there, you fat pig. And I'm not going to – what'd he say? I'm not gonna call him that?
He said, don't call him that.
Don't call him that.
But, of course, in saying it, he called it that three times.
I know. And then Chris Christie says, I'll see you at the – debate. I got some brass knuckles behind my back. All right. We are just about out of time. Steve, anything else to share?
Well, Dianne Feinstein was in California. She fell again yesterday or today. And
Senator
from California. They had to take her to the hospital briefly. She's back and there was no permanent damage, but she is.
Why didn't she retire?
Well,
why didn't she retire? I mean, she's in terrible health.
She is in very poor health.
I don't, you know, that it isn't like that. California is at risk of getting a Republican to replace her.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
A governor would be able to appoint a senator, but they have to elect a congressman if they retire.
Right.
One of the names that's been thrown out there for her seat, supposedly Adam Schiff is interested.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad we're out of time because I don't want to comment on that right now. Thank you very much, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Our thanks to Brent Creeley, our producer, Fred Jackson, our utility infielder, Fred Jackson, Riley Gaines, Kirk Cameron. Who else was on?
Tim Todd.
And we thank you for listening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.